Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Bernie Lomax.
And we
You are not movies. Bernie Lomax!
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week, we're kicking things back to 1989 with the classic corpse comedy, as promised, Weekend at Bernie's, directed by Ted Kotcheff, who is, of course, a distinguished director in his own right. Hidden Assassin with Dolph Lundgren, which is actually kind of a great movie. First Blood, Uncommon Valor with Gene Hackman, and Wake and Fright with Donald Pleasance, which is a totally fucked up, crazy Australian movie.
You know, I don't think we should stand on ceremony here. We're in the middle of a half month marathon. What we're doing right now.
You're calling it a half monther, man.
Yeah, it's Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2 this week and the next.
So happening.
Just settle in with the Rich Larry and Larry. Yeah, it's Larry.
Rich and Larry, man. Rich and Lair. To get Andrew McCarthy's obnoxious Queen's accent in this movie.
It's delicious. So yeah, that's it. So stop listening for 2 weeks and come back when we talk about movies you actually care about. Someone's excited.
Oh, people are excited, man. We've been promising this for a while.
Yeah, there's about 10, I think.
But I gotta say this. This is, I think, without question, the better of the Bernies.
Well, yeah, it has to be.
I haven't seen two in a while, and yeah. I'd be shocked if it's better than this movie. I mean, yeah, I remember it being sillier.
Well, it's fucking stupid. It's as you would say, trash. But this movie, Weekend at Bernie's 1, I think I've seen maybe like 5 or 6 times. Weekend at Bernie's 2, I had taped off of a Fox broadcast. We're talking wearing out that tape. I've seen that movie, I'm not kidding you, like 20 times.
Wow, maybe it is the better movie. We'll find out. We'll do a little post-mortem. This movie, We Hate Movies Prime, Weekend at Bernie's Prime. I like to call it.
Yeah.
You know, just did. Weekend at Bernie's Mothership, maybe?
This movie.
TOS.
Oh, yeah, that's Weekend at Bernie's TOS, I think, what you want to go with.
The original series?
of Bernie, yeah.
I wish there was a series based around these corpse and guys.
Yeah, how is this not a crappy cartoon?
Yeah.
You could have adapted this into a shitty cartoon.
For sure.
You could have done it. This movie is The Odd Couple with degenerates, is what this movie is. Because they're an odd couple type character.
Sure.
Andrew McCarthy and, of course, the 1980s and 90s Jonathan Silverman.
Yep, of Caddyshack 2 fame.
Oh, man. I don't know if that's a stay tuned, but that's a shit-ass movie.
It's terrible. I've seen it. That's a Comedy Central's just showing it to you.
Take a look at this.
You watch it enough, you're like, yeah, I kind of like Jackie Mason.
No one likes Jackie Mason.
I'm starting to.
Where was I going? Oh, and Jonathan Silverman, of course, also from The Single Guy.
Yeah.
Watched a lot of that.
Mm-hmm, one of those what you call spackle comedies from mm-hmm. the 90s. Wherein you had your friends at 8 o'clock, and
yep.
you had your Seinfeld at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
You need the spackle at 8:30 and 9:30. And
gotta keep that comedy wall together. Oh. You don't want that NBC Thursday night comedy wall to fall down. You patch that fucking hole in the middle of the schedule.
You get your Single Guy, your Hope and Gloria goes in there.
Oh, totally. You get some Caroline in the City as like a load bearing show. Because you don't want that lineup to go anywhere. It's going to fall right down.
You suddenly Susan's your Union Square.
Oh, man, Union Square.
Yeah, man.
Woof Central. They just couldn't figure out what to do with that time slot.
No, they couldn't.
And then I feel like it was just as bad as at the 9:30, too. What was going on there?
Well, I think that was Suddenly Susan had that for a long time.
That show was around for a while. Veronica's Closet was peppered about.
Now, what network was Just Shoot Me?
That was NBC. I think yep. That might have been a Tuesday situation, trying to hold up Frasier's ass, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
That's a pretentious, heavy ass to hold up. Frasier.
No, that's not on before or after.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I wouldn't be able. I wouldn't presume to know.
What, Just Shoot Me? I think it started before It started after Frasier, and ended after Frasier.
We heard that, like, what was that, salad toss song, or what did you do at the
toss
end?
Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Green eggs and ham.
Yeah, yeah.
Frasier Crane reads at the end of every episode. Hey,
baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salad and shoot me in the fucking head.
Why was he singing jazz? He was always listening to opera and classical music.
Because who the fuck could care?
Because the show's ending it. And he's slumming it now.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. He's slumming
like, this
it.
This is what the commoner's like.
Well, that's what's funny, though, is he was slumming it in Boston. In Seattle, he's living high on the hog.
Yeah, he was in high society with his Fnooty brother.
Yeah.
Fnooty? That's a word. Snooty, probably.
So, yeah, Jonathan Singleman. Jonathan Silverman. Wow.
Singleman.
Jonathan Silverman was the single guy.
There you go.
There it is. So this movie, if anyone doesn't remember, Steve, what is this movie about?
It's what you call a sitcom movie because it is a sitcom, yeah. Like just in
or a possible cartoon.
Yeah, or a possible cartoon. Two up and coming yuppies living in the city, trying to make their way
in business
in the insurance right. game.
Very important business.
Business.
But it's not
business?
Anonymous business, like you're saying. They do work for an insurance company.
I know, but it's
kind of just business.
Just business.
At least they're saying more than, like, the company. It's actually sort of specified what they do.
What's the company's name?
Oh, who cares?
Oh, okay.
It's so, the company. Capital T, capital C, the company. Much like the CIA.
To impress their boss, they find some lost money. The boss is so impressed, he invites them out to the house for the weekend. He is Bernie. We're going to have a weekend at Bernie's. When we get there, Bernie is dead. And for reasons that never entirely make sense, we don't call the police and pretend he's alive the entire time.
Man, I mean, we have made the joke quite a bit on the storied history of this show, the old just call the police.
Yep.
This is like, no, seriously, guys, just call the police. Well, there's no movie here. Just call the police.
They address that a bunch of times. But, I mean, I would like to, I feel like just call the police is not exactly applicable here.
Okay.
I would do something different.
This is leave a new, and don't say
yes,
anything.
Yes, my new strategy, just leave.
Yeah. I think you're totally right. I think, honestly, like, there's no real reason for them. I would just be like, ooh, you do the old backwards walk out of the room.
Yeah. See, the problem is, and I wouldn't necessarily describe them as up and coming. I feel like they are wheels spinning type low-level nobodies in this insurance firm. Because what they did here was they bragged to everybody that Bernie invited them out to this house.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Unfortunately, just leave doesn't work because hey, how was weekend at Bernie's?
It was good. He got tired and we left.
Dude, I'm just saying that's some suspicious shit when he's inevitably found dead.
No, you know, we were going to go. Then Richard got diarrhea and oops, we kind of just spent the whole weekend on the can.
That's an amazing thing in this movie because all they're doing, the two of them are two little pussy hounds throughout the whole movie, right? Jonathan Silverman, like, has a woman that he's had a crush on who's out there and he's trying to woo her.
A woman? No. This is a young girl.
Well, she's like a college girl, and he's like just out of college.
She's an intern. She's still in school.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not like Terry Kaiser's going after her.
Well, hold on. You say that, but she already knew how to get to his house. She just shows up at that party.
Her parents live out there, dude. Same town.
I've heard that story before.
Are you saying that Jonathan Silverman may or may not be a Jimmy Olsen? Is that where we're getting at?
I am definitely saying that. I think he's got a type, and he goes hard.
That girl in Supergirl is supposed to be in high school. She's like 40.
Yeah, but she's like 14, 40. Right?
40.
Right. She's 40, but she's playing 14.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, I mean, they're not driving to that Burger King.
It's a 1984.
Or what are they at in that in Supergirl? Where are they eating?
Maybe a Roy Rogers?
Something disgusting.
A Popeye's.
Yes. Oh, that's right. It's Popeye's chicken.
So we start out. It's Jonathan Silverman's is the Felix. You know, he's the he's the good guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the one that wants.
He buttons his shirt.
He buttons his shirt all the way up. And Andrew McCarthy is just terrible.
He's Oscar, and he's disgusting in this movie. He's obnoxious. This is an obnoxious character. He gets amped up so much more in the second movie. But here, it's obnoxious enough.
Well, I don't understand what his motivation is. Like, at some points, he just wants to be rich. I think he just wants to be annoying at parties. Like, that's what I've learned about the characters. He wants to go to parties and be obnoxious.
Oh, yeah. Like, he said, he has some line about, like, you know, my old man worked every day in his life. It's like a Joe Pantoliano impression, yeah, well, but it's kind of the same thing. He's like, you know, my old man worked every day of his life, and he, you know, just got more work out of it or whatever. Yeah. I want to be... he's like a get-rich-quick scheme character.
But I don't even understand, like... You would think he's like a, you know, a ladies' man. Like, oh, he doesn't get laid in this movie. He barely tries to get laid. Like, he's like a little kid. Yeah. Like, being like, oh, look at, hey, Richard, look at the frog in my pocket. You know, it's like, no.
That, but it's like, it's like an adult version of it, though, where it's like, ladies, yeah. But he's not doing anything
about it.
He
doesn't want to do anything about it.
So that explains the opening font of Comic Sans.
Oh, man. Comic Sans, which I don't think we've seen since Invisible Child.
Right, yeah.
But here it is again. Comics, you know what Comic Sans means, listeners at home? You see a movie open with Comic Sans, it's the producers telling you, oh, we don't fucking care a lick about this movie. That's what this is. Also a nice hint.
Pencils down, critics.
Yeah, oh yeah. You can stop taking notes. We know it's shit. And we're just putting it out there in Comic Sans for all the world to see. But the thing about Andrew McCarthy, I was going to mention a few minutes back, they are attached at the hip in this movie.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, we open with Jonathan Silverman, like, waiting for Andrew McCarthy so they can both go to work.
Yeah.
And he's mad at him for running a half an hour late, like they're working on a Sunday. And he's like, look, Rich, we're 30 minutes late now. What are we going to do? It's like, go to work, asshole. Yeah. You're a 30-year-old man.
Just, yeah, go upstairs.
Stop waiting for your buddy to walk through the door together. It's so weird, but that's through all of this movie. It's like, I can't do this because he wants to stay. Like, if I'm Jonathan Silverman, I'm like, you know what? I am going
to
leave.
You know, I need a prequel now to find out what this genesis of this relationship was. They bump into each other in college. They got a meet cute. And
it's kind of like on the Daredevil show, how they showed like Foggy and Matt Murdock meeting in college.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Same exact thing.
I'd like that. I'd like to be watching Daredevil right now. I'm fine watching Daredevil right this second.
I would like some Kingpin X, you know, some type of Kingpin figure in this movie. Make the Mafia more of a presence.
Yeah, the Mafia is a fucking joke in this movie.
There's no threat to these characters. The only people that the only person that's ever threatened is a corpse.
Yeah, I need a rascally detective. Maybe he's on their heels. Getting him for a murder beef. Maybe
Blood Simple going on.
Yeah, yes. I want this to be directed by the Coen brothers. Weekend at Bernie's, directed by the Coen brothers.
They could pull it off.
they have the Coens do have the chops to pull off Weekend at Bernie's.
I think they could. I think they could figure their way around a Weekend at Bernie's-esque script.
But it'd be good.
Well, actually, the closest you can come is that movie The Trouble with Harry, the Alfred Hitchcock movie, where there's just a dead body in a small town. And it's like, how did it get there? Who killed him? What's Harry's deal? And it's kind of a comedy. It's not as raucous as the Weekend at Bernie's franchise is. But so the whole thrust of this movie is, you know, they find out this deal. So they go to Bernie and they're like, hey, we found out, Mr. Lomax, that people stole $2 million from the company on all these like phony insurance claims or whatever. Yeah. And Terry Kaiser, playing the titular Bernie, is just doing a very bad job of being like, yes, someone did steal $2 million from the company. And it's like, you know, yeah, come out to my house, like you said, like come out for Labor Day weekend. We'll discuss it out there. And it cuts to him having dinner with the Mafia. And it's like, we got to kill those two suckers or whatever. And it's like, why is the Mafia involved in this?
It's never entirely clear why the Mafia is involved in this. I guess they're getting some of that money or...
I don't really get it because, you know, Bernie's got an affluent lifestyle.
Sure.
And so embezzling money makes sense. But he also has a crippling coke addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's...
So maybe it's with that?
Well, because what this movie is doing is like... really just poking the bear that was 1980s excess. Like, that's why, like, every, like, you know, third-tier character in this movie is just a drunk, rich moron. Yeah. Everybody's constantly partying. Like, The movie, to be fair to the movie, is trying to say something about that culture, but it's so poorly written and executed, it's not doing anything.
The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, it's
it's kind of like The Wolf of Wall Street.
Sure.
I was thinking, speaking of 1980s excess, I thought this movie was written and directed to pay off coke debts.
Entirely,
you know what I mean?
Possible.
Like you wake up after a long weekend and you're in $6,000 to somebody and you're like, oh crap.
So this
here's a comedy about a dead body.
It's like the snake eating its own tail.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I can just see them. They've got like a safe full of like emergency scripts.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, this coke debt is sky high. Open the safe, let's make one of them quick.
Exactly. The VIG is getting high on this coke debt.
I have a feeling there was probably some not prop cocaine in this movie.
Oh, of course.
You know, like everybody's just kind of doing a little bump here and there to get them through the shooting schedule that was making Weekend at Bernie's.
Let's get back to the mafia a little bit, because this happens a little bit in the 80s where it's like a joke. People like to like mirror the mafia with corporate culture and like, nah, we're a corporation over here.
Yeah, but the whole like the idea of going legit.
But everyone... This is the mafia that chases Bugs Bunny. This is not the mafia that, you know, to your point, like, this is not Martin Scorsese's mafia that's putting people in meat freezers. You know what I mean? This is not anything that resembles humanity. Because, like, even...
It's, like, less than the Simpsons mafia.
Yeah, exactly. Fat Tony would kick the shit out of these guys.
Yes, he's a more competent mobster. A cartoon than these dudes are. And also, here's the thing. You're going to have this, like, this Italian mafia dinner, this whole thing, and, like, here's Terry Kaiser, like, pleading with these, like, three guys who are clearly playing Italian men.
Sure.
They're all eating, like, plates of raw vegetables and whatnot, and you're just like, come on, stupid movie. Where is the pasta? Where's the meatballs?
Like, it's the 80s, man. We're you got to keep our bodies clean for the coke.
There's no bread on the table to speak of. I think they're drinking white wine. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, this is a lame mafia, man.
How do you fuck up making the mafia?
I think after this mafia kills Bernie, a real mafia kills this mafia.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of wonder, like, I wonder if I could impersonate the mafia. If the three of us can go around impersonating the mafia.
Oh, without a doubt. Not in New York. No, no, no.
No, we could go to, like, you know, somewhere in the hills and pretend to be the mafia.
Right.
Not hillbilly mafia, though. That's a completely different
ballgame.
Oh,
no, no, no. We'd be eaten.
Yeah. Can't fool those people.
We show up in the Ozarks pretending to be Italian mobsters. We'd be eaten.
Eaten alive.
But maybe, I don't know, Tulsa, Oklahoma City.
Oh, sure.
We might get by.
Sure.
I'd like that. I'd like to see how that played out.
I think, you know, if, obviously, I was going to say if We Hate Movies doesn't, you know, ever be successful.
Yeah.
And then I realized it won't be.
Well, yeah.
But
that's what you call a pipe dream.
Yeah. After that's over with, we do this.
Yeah.
We do this.
Your mafia escape plan.
Yes. Yeah.
It's called Operation Last Gasp.
And yeah, I mean, sure enough, we might be murdered by hillbillies, but we'll just see how it goes.
Hey, you know what, guys? Roll with it.
I always kind of wanted to die with a... A
pitchfork in your belly.
Well, no, a pitchfork in my back as I'm running away from somebody with like money in a suitcase that's kind of fallen out of the suitcase.
Oh yeah.
Oh, dude, you wanted to die being found out to be a true carpetbagger?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, fleeing the town that you just fleeced.
Yes,
oh,
exactly.
It's like if the Music Man was murdered at the end.
Sure.
Ooh, better movie. I always thought shotgun to the face.
Okay.
Oh, that's how you do it. Like
yeah.
Steve Buscemi in Sopranos, man. He fucking goes out with a bang. Huh?
Then I could always come back as a vengeful, headless spirit, you know? That's how that works. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You die violently. Yeah, you're fine.
You know, speaking of the 1980s, by the way, another thing that this movie totally has, it's something they carried over into the second Gremlins movie. A couple of other pictures have this. The old sexy lady putting a bestockinged foot in the crotch of a man.
Yeah, the footsie thing.
It's, the 80s loved it,
that's
dude.
That's a trope.
I don't know why that was. And like, I feel like that sexual maneuver went out with Clinton Gore for some reason. Like, I feel like once we started hearing Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, we stopped putting our foot in people's crotches.
Are you saying it knocked up the BJ's then? Or?
Yeah, I think we started fucking getting serious about totally. Did everyone touch a dicks?
Maybe everyone just realized kicking some balls around isn't pleasant.
No, exactly. No.
Who? It's not pleasant to anyone.
A fucking foot in your balls. What an at a restaurant, by the way.
Oh, I'm going to mush your balls around.
Stamp.
Well, that's a very specific subset of people
sure.
that enjoy that, which is fine, and I'm not throwing stones.
Oh, and you got to have stockings on. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing.
But the movies, the 80s movies, like that's when those were my formative years. I expected this to happen to me at some point. Like,
totally.
I'm going to be in a business meeting at some point, and some sexy lady's going to make me all flustered.
It's like, come on, we're at the restaurant. The movie told me. Stupid 1980s.
I was promised this.
Oh, man.
That's what I think you call the friend zone, I guess, when that doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
Those fucking scumbags.
So this mafioso's Gumar is like starting to do it to Bernie. And you're like, oh, I see what's going on. And the Godfather's not going to like this.
The broadest character I've ever seen, like, in terms of accent. She's like, oh, hi, Pointy, where are we going to? It's like, dude, one in New York has talked like that. You're watching Guys and Dolls and misinterpreting that, which was a fucking musical.
Yeah.
She's like, well, this is kind of a cartoon movie, so I should play a cartoon too.
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, but she's doing the boiny.
Yeah, it's just
boiny.
What the fuck? Why wasn't fucking Ted Kotcheff like, you know what? God damn it. I directed fucking First Blood. Stop saying boiny, you idiot.
No, he probably said, start saying boiny.
I want to make this movie as shitty as possible, goddammit.
You've been intimate with this man. You've been mushing his nuts around. You're going to call him Boiny, all right?
I mean, that's all it is, man. It's
action.
And then action.
So that's one thing. And she's like, he makes something. Basically, the mob boss reveals that he knows that him and his girl are fooling around. And he's like, yeah, Bernie, we'll take care of those two losers for you. And then he's like, hey, Paulie, who's this character?
He's a dude who looks like the guy who played Father Guido Sarducci.
Yes.
Ooh, but Don Novello.
Yeah, but he's not Don Novello, though. He's like a crazy eyes Don Novello. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like him meets Dom Herrera.
Oh, yeah!
if Dom Novello and Dom Herrera had a baby.
It's this fucking guy.
I would raise that baby.
By the way, this episode of We Hate Movies is for people 50 years old plus.
Oh, yeah, totally. If you don't have the same interest in 70-year-old stand-up comedians like we do.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm sure the Teletubbies is on TV.
Don't you kids remember when these guys were doing sets on the Carson program?
it's revealed that, you know, the Don knows that. He hires his hitman to go out. He's like, tomorrow you go out and you kill Bernie. You don't worry about these two wiseacre kids.
Right.
So basically our boys are in the clear. For a second there, I was worried.
I was like, oh boy, if they get murdered, no movie. How are we going to get out to Bernie's?
We take a while to get to Bernie's.
We sure do. And let me tell you something. I think like Bernie himself is not a corpse until like 50 minutes into this movie. That's 5-0.
Yeah.
It's 50 minutes.
It takes forever, yeah.
I'm just like, fucking kill this guy.
You want it to be what the movie needs to be is an open door farce kind of thing. You know what I mean? And he's the prop, you know? And like, people are coming in and leaving him and blah, blah, blah. And then this person comes in. And
which it becomes, but that's an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
It has to start with the scene we're talking about right now with the mafia.
Yes.
And it's just, we don't need to see them discovering this, you know, insurance fraud or whatever. It's like, I got to get these guys. Yep. You use expository dialogue in that dinner scene.
Yeah, of course.
It's all, you get that shit out of the way in 5 minutes.
Then we've got Jonathan Silverman's going on a date with this girl. He lives at home. For some reason, again, like, I don't understand why him and Larry don't live together. Richard and Larry, like, why aren't they just roomies?
Well,
you know
he
what I
refuses
mean?
To live with Andrew McCarthy because Andrew McCarthy lives in a air quote bad neighborhood.
Oh, I see.
With roaches all over the floor. And
oh, so anywhere
in the five boroughs in 1980s New York City. Yeah, but. Yeah, so that's like he refuses to move in with him or whatever.
So he's living at home. He's kind of embarrassed by that. He doesn't have anywhere to take this girl. You know, when things start moving that way, and
the girl, by the way, is Catherine Mary Stewart from Night of the Comet, which is an awesome movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And The Apple, which is kind of also a campy, awesome movie, which we'll never do an episode of, by the way. So stop asking about that one. It's not happening. It's a great Canadian rock musical. Not happening.
And the thing is, he's a liar. He's a filthy fucking
liar.
Oh,
Jonathan Silverman's a
for
fucking...
For no reason.
He's a scumbag liar in this movie.
Terrible, and they, you know, it's like played for cutesies.
Yeah.
Cause
oh,
it's
yeah.
Like he walks up to her when they first meet, and he's like, oh, I don't know what to say. Oh, my aunt is ill.
And that's a joke, by the way.
Yeah, that's a joke.
We're just pausing while she's like, uh-huh.
You want to talk about Ted Bundy, man? Like, why don't you start walking around with an arm cast and be like, oh, I'm so sick and helpless. Help me out.
Yeah. You help me get this couch into the car, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're a real help. This movie should end with Richard wearing her as a hat. Just like a carved out scalp and eyes hanging down. And
We get her going out to the Hamptons. She's just listening to American Girls.
Much better movie if this turned into Silence, man.
But he's such a fucking creep because, yeah, he's a bad liar, and it makes her an idiot because she believes him half the time.
Well, that's the thing. The way this character lies is someone says, I thought you said X, and he goes, I did? Yeah, that's because, like, the person is clearly thinking of something while just letting sound fall out of their face hole.
This is another thing with movies where there's always, like the guy character sees a girl and he's like, I want that forever.
Yep.
I want that forever.
I want her to mash my nuts. I was promised this.
Look, you're not going to get your money. You're not going to get your nuts mashed. You're not boiny, all right? But it's this idea that, like, she's the one for me forever.
Yep, lock on, man.
It's just you like, don't know this chick from fucking Frank,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, talk to her. If it's awkward or she's stupid or something, get another one. Keep on going.
Yes, exactly. Like, move on.
He says, she's the one from across the room. I know that somehow. You fucking moron character.
Obsess about her. Yep. And obsess about her. Follow her out to Long Island. Well, it's going to seem like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you lie and lie, and like he brings her to his
invent
house.
Invent yourself.
And he's like, oh, my parents are dead. And she's like, oh, my God. She kisses him because he like reveals this thing. He's like, oh, my parents died. And then, a plane fell on a train. And it's like, what the fly? Ooh, lady.
It's so, and she's just like fucking eating it up, man. She's eating it up like a hot sandwich.
She's ready to mash his nuts until
his
father
comes. Getting ready to get that foot in there at the restaurant. And then, yeah, the father walks in, cameo by director Ted Kotcheff and his fucking skivvies.
Can I just say, I don't like when the IMDb trivia gets a little poppy with the language.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Well, it's just like...
They're using some sort of racist slur.
Are they talking about the nut mashing?
No, I'm not talking about...
Hey, stop bashing the nut mashing.
I'm tabling nut mashing for a second if I can.
All right. Under the table.
When IMDb trivia, when they like try and make it like a little flowery language, like just tell me what the trivia is and let's get out of here.
Oh, sure.
Because this one's like, oh, you know, in the scene when Jonathan Silverman's got the girl on the couch, and then the guy who's his father comes in.
This well, is that's flowery.
Well, it's getting there, and I'm fucking making it up. But that person was played by none other than the director Ted Koch himself.
Yeah. Oh, isn't
none
that
other?
Cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that fucking cute? None other. Way to go! You're a regular Dickens trivia writing idiot. Fucking none other. Like, you're making a big reveal about
exactly,
something.
Exactly. There doesn't need to be an act structure in your trivia bites.
Was that trivia bit written in iambic pentameter, you fucking wordsmith? Just tell me it's the director and his fucking fat guy underwear.
Exactly.
That would be great if it said, in his fat guy underwear.
And so she's clearly, they're making out, and she's freaking out. She's like, Richard, there's a man in your house, and he's fucking naked, by the way. And he's like, oh, that's that guy? He's my a butler. Yeah. And he gets all John Lovitz
on it.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Butler.
And she's like, oh, that's cool. And keeps making out with him. And then, like...
and then he says, like, lay my blue suit out for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he's like... I'll lay you out for tomorrow.
And what's amazing is, and this is what I hate, when a protagonist in a shitty comedy makes things that are done worse.
Yes.
Is when, because like the dude comes out and the dad sees what's going on and he's like, all right, my boy's got a girl in the house. And he's like, oh, sorry, didn't know you had anyone home. Well,
just
good night.
Let it go.
And then that's when he fucking snaps his fingers and he's like, put my fucking suit out. And he's like, I'll lay you out. Fucking scumbag kid. And she's like, you let your butler talk to you like that? And then she storms out. Of all the bullshit, then she storms out.
His response to that got a legitimate laugh out of me. He said that he was a war veteran with a plate in his head. I just like plates and heads.
Sure, it's fun.
Yeah.
We finally get to goddamn Bernie's,
fucking finally.
We're at Bernie's beach house. Bernie is like, getting all ready. He's writing a suicide note for these kids. He puts it in a suitcase with a bunch of money. And Paulie calls him. He's like, hey, Bernie, I'm on the island. And he's like, oh, which they call, because it's the 80s, they call it Hamptons Island. They don't call it the Hamptons.
Yeah, so that's weird. Nobody says that. Also,
well, they do take a ferry at one point. So I'm like, is this like Bernie's secret island in international waters just off the coast?
Well, it's like it's a community out there. I didn't know if it was something like Shelter Island, kind of thing. Because they do take a ferry to it. You're right. And also, when they get on that ferry, they leave New York City and pop into North Carolina, where we're filming the rest of this movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not the Hamptons at all. It's one fanboat away from being a swamp town. Why couldn't you just... I mean, I guess the filming in the Hamptons is very cost prohibitive.
Because the real Bernies were like, you get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's...
You get the fuck out of here.
A late 80s Bernie Madoff was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Oh, Weekend at Bernie's. It's a documentary about him in prison getting...
hanging himself.
Yeah, please God.
His
son killed himself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it all mixed up.
Good, those fucking crooks. Bernie Madoff Sr. I don't know if he's a senior. He's still alive. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's still alive. The son committed suicide in jail like Bernie Madoff should do.
I didn't know he had a son.
Yeah. The son was in on it.
Oh, really?
It's a whole fucking family of scumbags.
Let's go through the case right now.
Yeah, dude. Now we're turning to Serial. We Hit Movies present Serial, the Bernie Madoff investigation.
So they took that fucking money. It's we're jazzing up Serial.
Yeah, we're not as prepared as Sarah Koenig is. We don't have that.
No, not whatsoever.
We're going to fill in the gaps, though. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll spackle it.
We are going to go check out a Best Buy parking lot, though. Don't worry about it. No, my weekend at Bernie's is me hanging out with Bernie Sanders in Vermont, because that's a fucking good time.
Well, that's the thing is, really, that's what every political... I'm sure there's been at least three articles written about Bernie Sanders said weekend at Bernie's. There's been at least four articles about Bernie Madoff weekend at Bernie's. Different points of view, different, whatever he did on a weekend or whatever.
Bernie Madoff is the one that's closer to Bernie...
Lomax?
Bernie Lomax,
But you can still do weekend at Bernie's.
Sure.
If Bernie Sanders polls really well one weekend at Bernie's.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's this movie series is the gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
For two people.
So Bernie gets murdered by this guy in a Michael Clayton-esque way where he just gets like it's corporate murder, man.
Yeah. It's brilliant. He gets injected in the butt
with a big old rush of heroin.
Right. Is that what it is now?
Yeah, big old heroin, because they leave the baggie.
I thought it was a bag of coke to like simulate a heart attack or whatever. Like it was like an injection.
Oh,
I think heroin might do too.
Sure.
I mean his heart explodes on anything if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's the thing is his
not marijuana.
He got injected with marijuana?
No, Steve said you can OD on anything if you wanted to, and I said not marijuana.
Well, here's the thing. His heart explodes.
Yeah.
Because he's
got
just,
a baggie of coke or drugs or hair, whatever.
Right. I'm with you so far.
Just leave.
Yep.
Because, it explains itself. No one's going to be like, hey, two people were supposed to be at this house. There's a there's 50,000 people in this house.
Yeah. It's the 80s. You know how many fucking drug overdoses were called in and not called in?
Shit, I think I drug overdosed in the 80s.
It's Labor Day weekend in 1989.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of people are dying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what that brings up a good point to talk about the police department on this, quote, Hamptons Island.
Because it's one guy, apparently.
It's one guy, and that guy is a real party dude.
Of course he
is. Because when they finally get around to calling 911, the woman working the dispatch is like, oh, you mean, they're like, get me the police. And she's like, oh, you mean Harry? Oh, he's probably out there somewhere party. And like, she's drunk too. And it's like, no, if anything, there's a big police department. Yes. You're ready to get all the drunk driving, mm-hmm. all the drug overdoses, all the definite drunk fighting that's happening, mm-hmm. all the drowning in the ocean you're dealing with. There's EMTs, there's fire departments everywhere ready for this shit.
You want to get stabbed in the neck? You go to a party on the Hamptons on Labor Day weekend.
Sure.
You say the wrong thing to the wrong asshole. You wear the wrong Mets hat. You're fucked.
Oh, totally.
You quote the wrong stock price. You're done, man. Dunzo.
You want to talk about mashing nuts? They'll mash your face.
Yeah, they'll put your nuts in your face.
I was going to say, they'll fucking feed your nuts right to your face.
Oh, they'll definitely do that.
Enter our the guy is like a master of disguise. He dresses up like a priest afterwards.
Like Father Guido Sardinici, yes. As a matter of fact.
And he kind of he moseys away, which is also stupid because like, if anyone,
let me be noticeable.
Yes, exactly. If anyone noticed you enter that house and then you leave dressed as a priest,
totally.
They're like, well, that guy's clearly up to no good.
And if you're looking at security footage of the ferry, it's like, well, that priest didn't get off a boat to come on the island. It's clearly somebody else.
Whoa, it's a were-priest.
Oh, yeah, full moon out here on Hampton Island. A lot of were-priests in the neighborhood.
I was bitten by a radioactive priest.
Like in Catholicism.
Oh, yeah. Got bit by a radioactive priest, he did. Started believing in all sorts of commandments.
Call him the altar boy. So enter our two heroes.
Sure.
And to Eric's point, yes, you come in, they're like, and, you know, it's got to be Andrew McCarthy running his fat fucking mouth for 9 minutes about, he's kind of Jim Belushi-ing, taking care of business in this place a little bit.
Let me put it to you this way. The lightest way you could say this is he's making himself at home.
Yes.
Because you know what? He's being downright rude.
Yep.
He's walking around. He's opening bottles of champagne, which he's drinking out of.
Yes.
And
I
just
was on board with that.
Oh, I would do it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, to a decent person, this guy's being real piggish about the whole thing. And I have done it. That's the other thing.
It takes him a very long time to realize that he's dead, but not too long. And then they're like, Jonathan Silverman figures out, he's like, oh my God, you know, Larry, he's dead.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? And then, like, Larry's all pissed off. He's like, my weekend's ruined. I mean, like, really? It's just a weekend. I don't know. Like, it's not like you were going. Bernie was going to give you this house.
No. Totally.
Well, you never know.
It's actually, to your point,
maybe it's in the will.
It's almost worse because here you are. You are going to have a fabulous time in the Hamptons on Labor Day weekend.
With your boss, by the way.
Yeah, that sucks. But I mean, you know, it's a big, there's the roaming parties. Listen, you're probably going to get blown. You might get laid. You're going to do a lot of coke. You're going to get drunk. You're going to get to go swimming. They get
maybe
so excited about
the same time.
It's entirely possible. They're all excited. There's a swimming pool. You know, I mean, New York City, man, you don't see a swimming pool.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, unless you're going to the Y. Who's doing that?
Jeez, nope. No, that's just toilet water.
No, although actually our public pool system is pretty good. Used to go to the one in Astoria quite a bit. Anyway, point is, they're going to have this great time, but then it's over with, and it's back to their miserable life. Wouldn't you just want to continue the miserable existence and not have this moment of greatness?
No, I'd have the moment of greatness.
The 72 hours of pleasure, and then your boss is back to not being your friend again.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, or just get a hotel or whatever. You know what
well,
I mean?
Like, I'm kind of, I'm almost in on this plan. I'm almost in with these guys.
You would continue the ridiculousness that happens in this movie?
I didn't know the fella that well. And he's my boss. He's probably a jerk, you know? So just let him. I mean, he's still going to be dead. The problem he's still going to be dead tomorrow, Steve. I'm siding with Lair here.
Well, here's the problem.
Lair and Eric, time of death actually exists. So, like,
excuse me?
Like, time of death. If, like, their plan is like, oh, or Larry's plan is like, oh, we'll have fun, and then tomorrow we'll call it in, or in an hour we'll call it in. But, like, eventually somebody's going to do an autopsy, you know, Grandmama Lomax is going to be like, oh, my boy, what'd they do to him?
Right.
You know what I mean? She's going to want an autopsy. She's
you
gonna,
sat my Bernie in there!
Yeah! There's somebody shedding tears for Bernie Lomax. I guarantee you
so,
that.
What is the time of death matter?
Because, like, then it's like 2 days later, it's like, well, these fucking assholes were partying with this dead guy.
Yes.
And now you're on the cover of the New York Post as the world's biggest creep.
Here's how I would do it. If I did it, this is how I would do it.
Like by O.J. Simpson Siska. Yeah.
Okay, I discover him dead, but yeah. I still want that 72-hour party life.
Sure, of course.
I leave him on the couch where he was. I don't touch him. I don't deal with the dead body.
Right.
I go to the beach. I come back for the party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let some other bozo find his corpse.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's on them then.
You're correct because you're existing in a real world wherein anyone that saw a dead body would be like, oh, that's a dead body. That doesn't look like a person.
That's the other thing, Steve. You said they realize kind of quickly that he's dead. No, they don't. They are talking to this corpse for 10 minutes.
They move him. The second you touch a dead body, you're like, uh-huh. You know what I mean? You get that. Yeah.
It's more of this, like, how wild was the 80s that they just assume that he's just fucked up. Wow, Bernie got an early start. He's so wasted.
And that's what everyone thinks.
Everyone. There's 100 people that come through this house. They all talk to him like the fucking godfather on the day of his daughter's wedding.
And just the fact that this Larry guy is curled up on the couch with him, putting his dead arm around him.
Yep. Yeah.
I would not do that.
All of these other people.
All the stories, when they come out, they're like, oh, but that Larry guy was always talking to him. I remember he was walking around. He's making jokes with him. Yeah, exactly. To your point, Eric, be at the other side of the party.
Yeah,
I don't know when this fucking hippie died.
I'm not even going to look at him.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, oh, how do you know Bernie? Oh, geez, he's my boss, but he invited me here. I'm keeping my distance.
Uh-huh. There you go. Yeah.
I haven't seen him yet. Is he around here somewhere? I keep meaning to check in with the old guy.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, you got to plant your story. Yeah, I agree with you, Eric.
Right? Yeah. We can do this, guys.
we
can do this.
We need to be in a Weekend at Bernie's situation, which is very rare.
I know. We'll just have to find who's old in the Hamptons, I guess.
A lot of people.
Well, we'll just wander around. Let's do that this summer.
Hey, you dead in there or what? Is your name Bernie?
It would be better if it was.
It'd be a lot more fun if your name was Bernie.
You know, it's not a B&E if their sliding door is open.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just an E.
Yeah, I was just...
You're just E-ing at that point.
I'm just going to go... It's a quick E. Going to say hi to Bernie and leave.
Oh, no, I'm not going to touch any ecstasy.
Not a lot of that in this movie because it's 1989.
Because it wasn't invented in a laboratory yet.
You know what's a thing that I was thinking watching this movie? Andrew McCarthy
uh-huh.
was doing Matthew Perry before Matthew Perry was doing Andrew McCarthy. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I feel like
he invented it.
Matthew Perry saw like a lot of Brat Pack movies, and specifically Weekend at Bernie's 1, and was like, that's Chandler.
Uh-huh.
That's my Chandler right there. That's what I'm going to do. That's my acting persona from here on out is modeled after 80s sensation Andrew McCarthy.
Wow, this movie's got a lot of blame.
I didn't look at the career.
Geez.
Did this destroy Andrew McCarthy's career, or was it kind of done at that point, or like...
I mean, those Brat Pack movies didn't go into the 90s.
He was always
really.
Kind of like a fake intense actor, right? Like, he was like...
He's in some thrillers and stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing amazing.
But, like, you know, like, Pretty in Pink is not a comedy, right?
Parts of it are a comedy, yeah. That's supposed to be, like, one of your little, like, dramatic comedy kind of a things. He's the...
He's the guy from Mannequin, that's for sure.
Oh, that is for sure, but he's not in Mannequin 2 on the Move?
No, he's not. That's Herman from Herman's Head. Oh, Terry right. Kaiser is in Mannequin 2 on the Move.
Oh, is he?
He is,
oh,
yes.
Oh, shit. Do you think they exchanged mannequin set stories at any point?
Maybe.
Do you think these three actors still talk to each other?
No.
Well, I was thinking about this. I mean, I think that there's probably some sort of a bidding war between Jimmy Kimmel Jimmy Fallon, and maybe like Trevor Noah's going to get on it. Like, who can break the Weekend at Bernie's reunion? You know, get Terry Kaiser, get Terry Kaiser, get Andrew McCarthy, get Jonathan Silverman, all in the old outfits, right? They come out.
You know what?
The audience goes nuts about it,
and
right?
Here's what I'll say. That stinks of Fallon.
It does because
Kimmel got the Back to the Future one. And that's awesome.
Whenever I
Fallon does fucking Saved by the Bell reunion, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
that's where the Weekend at Bernie's reunion would be.
Something nobody asked for on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Hey, this will make a great YouTube clip.
Man, that would suck for like 80-year-old Terry Kaiser, like, to still play that dead body, and he's not allowed to talk on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Oh God, they just get the fucking John Lennon sunglasses and put them on.
My God,
that is humiliating.
So they can explain like his aging as like, oh, Bernie, you're rotting. That's why you look older,
dude. Let me tell you, in my whenever it was, like late 90s obsession with taped off the TV Weekend at Bernie's 2. In the early days of the internet, me going through like nerd sites, like movie sites and whatnot, a lot of talk about a third script floating around.
Oh, wow. Well, what happened?
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not. It was never leaked. I've never read one. I don't think there's any fan scripts like Freddy versus Jason. But there was talk of a third Weekend at Bernie's movie. Pile that under who could possibly care.
You know what? That kind of reminds me of other weird things on the internet poking around of things no one could care about. I think I saw a YouTube video of like people visiting the old Hey Dude ranch that's like still standing in the desert somewhere.
Are you kidding me? Is the skeleton of Mr. Ernst there?
I think it is.
There was the rumor that the guy who played Danny was dead.
He probably is.
The skeleton of American standards was in that video.
Well, that would be a fun weekend at Bernie's.
But to get back to Bernie, I mean, like,
yeah.
First of all, Terry Kaiser was cast most likely because of his slight stature, right?
Probably. Because also, he was kind of like just a soap opera actor, so with a Friday the 13th sequel under his belt at this point,
you're not gonna get like
Tom Selleck.
You're not gonna get John Goodman as Bernie, right? Because that's gonna weigh your movie down.
That's gonna weigh everything down. That's unbelievable. You can't have little string beans moving him around.
That's a one act play set in one setting. It's a one scenes. It's a one part web series.
It's like, oh, Richard, oh my God, it's going crazy. Bernie's dead. Let's, oh God, Richard, call the hospital.
What this movie starts off doing okay and then completely throws in the toilet is the idea of how hard it is to lug a human being around.
Sure.
Like, you ever try to like lift up your friends or like carry someone who's drunk home or something?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
it's impossible.
It's so impossible. And the movie starts out and they're doing it and it's like, oh Jesus, this is impossible. They get to a point in this movie where they have their legs tied around his legs with shoelaces and they're running with him. No fucking way is that happening.
Supernatural. I've tried to move bodies.
Yes. Yeah.
It is tough stuff. I couldn't get it off the floor.
You would need Terry Kaiser to play Bernie.
How'd you get out of that pickle, I guess, is the question.
Time.
Yeah.
Time heals all wounds.
You would need... If Terry Kaiser is Bernie, you would need Richard and Larry to be played by fucking Batista and John Cena to just lug this fucking corpse around for an entire weekend.
I could go for a raucous wrestling comedy.
Oh, yeah, dude. A couple of wrestlers and a Weekend at Bernie's remake. Oh, shit. Bernie played by Vince McMahon.
That is perfect.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Weekend at Vince's.
If there's anyone I want to...
Come on up. We'll talk about your characters. Well, I got the rest of the year planned.
Me and Steve Austin are going to go out to a cabin on Cape Cod and write the script for Weekend at Vince's.
If I could see Vince McMahon's lifeless body chucked off porches for an hour and a half... I'm happy.
Oh, absolutely. Cameo by Stone Cold Steve Austin accidentally pours a pitcher of beer on him.
Yeah.
Oh, this thing writes itself.
Austin! You're fired!
It's one of the greatest things ever captured by a microphone is that soundbite.
Ugh. Oh, man. And there could be a subplot in the movie about how dead Bernie's wife has a ridiculously hilarious, pathetic, failed political career that she lost millions of dollars
on.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe that's Vince is stealing money from the mafia
to
pay off that failed political campaign.
And that failed wrestling network. Well, I don't know. Is that doing all
right? No, that thing's an unstoppable hog beast entertainment machine.
Oh, no.
They're doing just fine.
Oh, jeez.
Bet you wish you invented professional wrestling.
I can't rub two pennies together, man.
So Gwen shows up. She's like, oh, my God, I wanted to say hi to Bernie. And everyone's like, but didn't leave Bernie alone because Bernie's sleeping and Bernie.
And here's the horseshit thing about that. What she's saying is, I want to thank him for the summer internship. Here's a tip, Gwen. Bernie doesn't know who you are.
Bernie's
been drinking since noon, first and foremost.
Well, okay, but she's acting like Bernie Lomax himself granted this summer internship. What are you, fucking crazy?
Read between the lines, man. I was saying it earlier. They know each other.
Well, no,
she's a girl from the neighborhood in his summer party orgy palace?
I was thinking it was a little more innocent, like her. He plays golf with her father, and he's like, oh, could you get my daughter an internship?
Oh, that could
kind
be.
Of a deal.
You know the thing about that, though? Write a fucking line of dialogue about
it. Well, maybe if you want to write a movie, change everything around.
If you're deciding to write a movie and not the script to Weekend at Bernie's.
So in our remake, would this be like China?
No, it would still be Catherine Mary Stewart. Or Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, can the bumbling Hitman be Jim Ross?
Yes. Yep.
I thought I killed Vince last week. Oh, God damn it. By God, it looks like he's risen from the grave. He fell off that balcony. He's broken in half. Oh.
Just him pretending to be a priest for 5 seconds would be hilarious.
Well, actually kind of works because Jim Ross always thinks everybody's dead. Anytime somebody gets a stone cold surgery, oh, get the body bags. He can't get up from that.
You know what? Forgo the hospital. Just send him right to the morgue because he's clearly deceased. By God, he's dead. He stubbed his toe, King. He's clearly dead. Oh, you can't. A pile driver on top of 3 chairs. Oh, no, just get the dirt. Let's just pour the dirt right on his face. No funeral. Don't even call his mother.
Clear out this arena right now. Can get everyone out of the building. This is officially a mausoleum because he's dead.
He overreacts.
Yeah, he did it a little bit in his latter days. But so Gwen's like, oh, you know, I want to meet Bernie, blah, blah, blah. And then Jonathan Silverman's like, hey, let's go out for a nice walk. And she's like, why are you a fucking lying sociopathic scumbag? You
know what I mean? Yeah, like, and he bats his pretty brown eyes and goes, oh, I'm sorry. And she's like, that's adorable. Mm-hmm. You're forgiven. Let's go to this lighthouse alone where you definitely couldn't murder me and get away with it.
And then he, like, falls down or something.
Well, he looks into the light of the lighthouse.
Right.
And then he falls down. This lighthouse kind of reminds me of at the end of Batman 89.
Dude, yeah, I was going to say the fucking bell tower in the church. He falls stories down the stairs. I mean, it is a tumble, man. He goes down.
Oh, no! My God! He fell down the lighthouse! Jonathan Silverman is dead. Somebody call Mama Silverman. She's going to be crying all night.
Weekend at Silverman's.
Well, that was my other thing about this scene is it would be great if he dies and then she has to Weekend at Bernie's him.
Yes.
And then like Larry's Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekends
Bernie.
Are beginning weekends.
Bernie's are beginning Bernie's.
And that's the other thing that they don't do in that sequel. You need two bodies.
Yeah, you do. You need a second body.
And ideally one of them dies, and ideally that is Andrew McCarthy's character.
Yes.
Yeah.
To just save my fucking eardrums and patience.
Well, that's the thing is no one would believe he was alive because he wasn't running his motor mouth.
And also, yeah, you're right. Like, oh, he's awfully quiet.
he's clearly a zombie.
Richard could pass for a corpse easily.
Sure, easily.
Sure, yeah.
That guy.
Nobody knows him. The thing about that lighthouse, by the way, who's just leaving a lighthouse unlocked?
Well, they say it's like, oh, they don't man lighthouses anymore. It's the 80s, Jonathan. You know, don't
but
worry.
But you can't just
computers, kid.
Walk into a fucking lighthouse and go up top.
You'd think it'd be locked or something.
That's Suicide Central.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's most definitely Suicide Central. Especially in the Hamptons, all these stockbrokers getting caught with all sorts of Wolf of Wall Street schemes.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, jacking it at parties.
It would become a saying like, oh, he's going to go up to the lighthouse. They started looking through his files, so he's going to go up to the lighthouse.
Oh, Sanderson, this isn't looking good. I'll meet you at the lighthouse.
Man. My God, it's a massacre at the lighthouse tonight, King. It's a lighthouse match. First man to kill himself wins. There is literally a whole town falling down the stairs.
I would like to see that.
Just a bunch of lemmings killing themselves off a lighthouse?
Yeah.
And they're all just shitty Wall Street stockbrokers.
So I would love it.
He's about to make it with her because she's stupid. And she's like, oh, he's like, yeah, I lied because you're so beautiful or some nonsense.
Yeah, that's, you know what? That sounds about right. I lied because you're pretty.
And she's that like, line, oh, that's.
That'll work.
Yeah.
And you know what gets you ready for some fucking making out on the beach in the wet, cold sand in the middle of the night. Thanks, but no thanks.
I won't bring you there.
Not to mention you're tangentially attached to a murder beef at this point.
Sure.
Try and get hard in that scenario, gentlemen.
Yeah. Come on, dudes. Dudes, it's the thrill.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, you're riding high on all this murder adrenaline.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. He's probably been hard the whole afternoon.
Oh, yeah, rigor mortis is set in.
So there.
We'll get to it.
That doesn't even exist in this movie. So there.
Yeah, well, it exists for one part of the body.
Yeah.
But we'll get to it.
So they're making out, and then Bernie, like, because they left him alone, and a bunch of comical misunderstandings happen.
Oh, he fell out of a something and slid down another thing.
He washes up on the shore next to them, and then Jonathan Silverman has to go homina, homina, homina.
Which, I mean, that is, to stop you for a second, that is a legitimately horrific image. Like, can you imagine being on the beach, making out a fucking corpse, just like, hello!
Well, yes. Of course, like, this is turning into, like, an Edgar Allan Poe tale. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get rid of this
telltale
body.
Telltale Bernie?
Yeah, exactly. You can't get rid of this body.
The beating of the Bernie.
You thought you had, you know, you put him in one spot. You're like, oh, that's him for the rest of the day. And like, oh, I'll just fuck this lady on a beach. And he washes up. That's fucking chilling shit.
I think it's like that new movie that's coming out, The Boy, about like that doll boy who like starts moving around.
I don't like the idea of that at all. I don't want to hear about it.
It's I'm going to tell you about it.
Tell me about it.
It's that, what's her name? Lauren Cohan from Walking Dead.
Okay.
I think that might be her name. She plays this woman who goes to be like a daycare person or a nanny or whatever, and she gets to the house and it's like, oh yeah, this is this person, and you know, here's our son, whoever, and it's a fucking dummy.
Eesh.
And she's like, yeah, okay, that's the ha ha ha. And they're like
invisible child.
Yeah,
kind of, just with a puppet. And they're like, here's all the rules, like, and he kind of has gremlin rules. It's like, make sure you feed him. Don't leave him alone in the room. Don't do this. Don't do that.
Is this thing walking around?
And she starts saying, she's like, yeah, fuck this. And the parents, like, I don't know if they go on vacation or whatever it is. I haven't seen it yet, but they leave. And she's like, oh, whatever. Sweet gig. I get to, like, sit around and just eat. And
with this terrifying doll baby around.
But then so she opens the door and the dummy's not sitting in the chair. So then she does a thing where she like sits it on the floor and she does a chalk outline, and she tells this other dude, she's like, now watch this. And she closes the door and opens it again. The fucking dummy's gone from the chalk circle. Getting pretty scary.
Oh, I don't like that.
It's called The Boy. I can't wait.
Jeez. I'd get a wood chipper for that one.
Yeah, toss it right in, dude. Yeah.
So,
anyway, back to Bernie.
He's like, oh, you know, that just killed my erection. I got to get this corpse under control. I got to call, you know, finally I'm going to call the police at this point.
Sure, why not? It's been long enough.
I would just leave that fucker on the beach. I don't know what those Colombians did to him. I don't know.
Yeah. It's not my business. Look,
he got high out of his mind on coke. He went out for a night swim.
Yep.
You know what you don't do at night? Swim in the ocean.
Yeah, when you're so hopped up on coke. Everybody saw him at that party having a great time. He was clearly alive then.
Yep. And he could and the thing about it is you implement Gwen here too. You're like, "Gwen, look at that. It's our boss."
Yeah. Oh my god, is he breathing? And you start doing some fake CPR. Yeah.
Because listen, you're not terrified to start putting your mouth on a corpse because you've been touching this thing all day. You are comfortable
you've been warmed up.
Exactly. You've been putting his arm around your shoulders like a real fucking weirdo the whole day.
So for whatever reason, he takes her home. He's like, oh, you know, I know you want to have sex now, but you deserve romance and flowers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But he also does this creepy thing, which, by the way, you should never, ever do, is if you're, you know, you've been mythologizing this person because you're a real creep, right? You finally get this lady all to yourself. You don't look her straight in the eyes and be like, I've been in love with you for this since the first moment we met.
Oh, man.
Now we're not going to casually have sex. This is just going to be a real moment in the rest of our lives.
Now we're going to make love.
Yeah, no. Ew.
What do you think our kids will look like?
Let's find out.
She's like, we're on the beach and I'm just having a good time here, man.
Her reaction is perfect because she's like, I am DTF, and what in the ever-loving shit are you talking about?
Exactly.
And she's like, okay, I guess we won't have sex now, weird guy.
You could just discover Bernie afterwards.
Yes.
No, dude, try keeping it up with a corpse looking at you. Guaranteed it's not happening.
It's happened.
So he brings him back to the house, brings Bernie back to the house, and he wakes up Andrew McCarthy, and I guess he's having sex, but you don't really see what he's having sex with, to be quite honest with you.
And so now comes in a bit of nerdery that I know about this.
And now, is this true? You told me this before we went on the air. Is this true?
Well, this is from our good friends at the Internet Movie Database in the alternate version section.
Uh-huh.
Apparently what the version of this movie you watch now, the home video version, was edited. It cuts out 10 seconds where you see Andrew McCarthy in bed with a woman. And why they did this was because in the sequel, there's a line where, oh man, I mean, we'll talk about it more next week, but Jonathan Silverman gets a curse put on him.
Sure.
And he's going to die. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that can save him is if they cast this spell, making this elixir or whatever, using the blood of a virgin.
And the gag is,
because the whole second movie, Andrew McCarthy's talking about, I fucked this chick, I fucked that chick, blah, blah, blah. He sticks his finger out, like, take my blood, and that's the joke.
Yeah.
But to prevent this continuity error in Weekend at Bernie's 2,
right,
they retconned the fucking movie for home video. So I guess the only time you can see the original cut is if you find an uncut 35mm theatrical release of Weekend at Bernie's.
We gotta find it.
I gotta track it down, man. But yeah, that's the thing. That's a thing.
That's my other question about this movie is why are there no boobs in this movie? Not that I'm a boob hound, but this is a booby. This is like a boob comedy. It should be kind of a boob comedy.
It's written for a boob comedy.
I don't remember the answer about the nudity, but they did alter a bunch of the language to take out profanity.
Whatever, indeed,
because you're right. This does need to be a boob comedy, and also don't lost where I was going with it. But yeah, it should be more than it is. Oh, that's what I was going to say. The ADR in this movie.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's rotten. It's rotten. People are just talking with their mouths closed in this movie.
They didn't, I don't think they filmed with sound.
No. Oh, man, what is it? Do you think it was an Italian co-production?
I think so.
They ran no audio and
MOS the whole thing. We'll fill it in later.
Sure.
Well, you're right. This is a family comedy. You know what I love in my family comedies? What I want to take my children to see?
Yeah.
Necrophilia.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, hey, kids, gather around. This is what the word necrophilia means.
Now you see that corpse is having sex. So talk about the birds and the dead bees.
So like everyone's had.
Guys, what happened to the bees?
They're all dead.
They're all dying.
We're
still getting laid.
We're about to call the cops. We're about to end the movie as we try to do a couple of times.
End it!
And just then the mall comes in and she's like, Bernie, you piece of shit, you left me on the island. And she's like screaming at these guys and they're like, whoa, lady, what movie are you in? And she's like, don't worry about that. I've been in Lost in Yonkers for a few scenes.
Oh, God.
kill me. So she like pulls a knife on her. She's like, tell me where Boyne is. And they're like, well, lady, he's upstairs.
Janice Rossi! you have a whore living in this building! To R. Rossi! Get your own goddamn man!
Oh. I will do that without provocation.
Mercy.
And so she goes up there, and they're both like, oh, well, that's it. She's going to discover the body.
Right.
Which is kind of, you know, that's their plan. It's like, that's now it's her. They're doing the Eric Sisko method. They're like, you know, wiping
Make
their hands.
Make somebody else do it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, now she's going to call him because she knows who he is, blah, blah. And they're waiting. And they're waiting, and they're like, uh-oh. She's having sex with a dead corpse.
Yeah.
Because she comes out smoking a cigarette, and we all know what that means.
She's, like, singing a tune. She's like, like, just dancing all over this house.
She loved it.
She loved it. Oh, she loved it. And it's like, you know the one thing I thought, actually, I was like, did you steal that, Kevin Smith?
Yeah, it's kind of the end of Clerks, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like.
Probably.
Again, I feel like. You're talking about, like, the problem with Bernie in this movie is he's also limp and movable and all that stuff. Like, his arm should pop out of the socket at some point, right?
Sure.
Like, he'll be out of a ham bone.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's like, this is an indestructible human corpse. I mean, there's parts later where he's getting dinged all over the place. Yeah. And, like, he should be torn asunder in this movie. And it's just like a Stretch Armstrong.
That'd be great, like, towards the end, like Lair just, like, puts Bernie's arm over his shoulder, and it's a bloody skeleton.
They're still trying to pull it off.
Yeah, they're trying to pull it off.
It's been everything else has been shredded away.
And then it's like, that's when they're on, like, every newspaper, and they're put away for life. Like, it's Menendez times 10.
Man, you know what? Who needed directed this movie? Jonathan Landis.
Yeah,
you'll get some cool effects going.
Sure,
and real corpses. Is that what you're getting at?
No. I'm saying like
confirmed murderer, John Landis.
He's the master of horror comedy, Eric. All right,
I would say so.
I personally don't find that all that funny.
No, I
know you mean.
I like some of his movies, despite the crimes.
But so then, off in the distance. Is the mafia is looking in, and he's like, hey, boss, you know, whatever, Louis fucked up. Lomax is still alive. He's like, oh, how do you know? Notice it's the same voice I'm doing for two people, because that's what these actors are doing. And he's basically like, I just watched him have sex with a girl for a half an hour. By the way, it's your wife, if that makes you mad at all.
Also, like, I don't know, man.
Why are you sleeping with the Don's wife, you know, or mistress or what have you?
Yeah, that's what like Mafia 101, man.
Bernie, you can get anything you want.
Like, what
You're
is it?
Terry Kaiser. You got Terry Kaiser's body.
Oh, man, I wish I had Terry Kaiser's body.
What is
yes,
it?
Yes, I would trade for Terry Kaiser's body.
Oh, sure. That mustache alone.
You know what? You got to have a certain look to pull off a mustache like that.
Absolutely. You need a narrow pencil head.
It's beautiful.
But here's the question.
Sure.
It's going to get really gross right now.
Hey, what the hell?
How does this woman not know that this guy's dead? Like, is she putting a condom on? Like, you know
well,
what I mean?
I don't think so.
No.
So then there you go. How do you know that everything's...
He's too drunk to finish or something, but she got it going.
But also, like, he was just flip-flapping in the ocean for who knows how long. Yeah. There's shrinkage. Corpse shrinkage.
It's the rigor mortis of one specific area.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh,
it
man,
just is there.
It's like, it's the end of Creepshow, and like, they're... It's the Ted Danson is that sea corpse.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she's fucking right now.
She's fucking Ted Danson in Creepshow, and it's disgusting.
There's like a starfish on the side of his head, and she's like, oh, my God.
But you know what they don't do, though? Unless I'm remembering wrong, I don't think she has any, like, and he was fantastic.
No, she does say something
does she
to
say
the effect
that?
Of, like, oh, good as ever, better than ever. Comment favorably on the performance.
Mr. Lomax is a real lame fuck, then, if that's the idea.
I guess so. I mean, it's disgusting. It's a disgusting image, and I don't want to think about it.
Well, then it just becomes Jonathan Silverman's like drunk and it's like, we're going to call the police. I'm going to take a nap. And it's the next day and it's like, we're just going to continue putting off calling the police to keep the party going.
Yeah, and like Anthony McCarthy's playing Monopoly with Bernie, which makes him a crazy person at this point. Like,
oh, yeah.
The idea, like, it's supposed to be cute and funny because there's a camera on him, but, like, in a real-world scenario, this guy's lost it.
He's talking to him. He's like, oh, Ventnor Avenue, sorry, old Bern. Yeah. That's going to cost you. I got a hotel on there. And you're just like, dude, you're fucking crazy. He's getting him drinks.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts.
He comes out with two daiquiris, one's for him. One's for Bernie.
And again, to your point, Eric, distance yourself. You don't want to be known as the guy playing fucking Monopoly with the dead. Yeah.
You know, you want to lay him on the sun chair after all that? Fine, but then walk away. I mean, this is when they should be leaving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Leave early.
But instead,
I don't know. Bernie was sleeping when we got up. We just left.
There's so many chances to just pretend like this dude died in his sleep.
Yes.
So what then keeps them here even ever loving longer is they hear Bernie's answering machine tape, which has recorded part of a phone call with the mafia where basically he says, you're coming out here to kill these two schmucks. I got the suicide note ready. They find the suicide note, and Bernie has cleverly written this suicide note to just be the plot of Dog Day Afternoon, which is kind of funny. Because he rightly assumes that the two of them could be lovers because they are just tied at the hip at all times. And so it's like, you know, we're taking this money from the company so my lover can have a sex change operation, blah, blah, blah. And it's just Dog Day, which is nice because it shows you that, you know, Bernie Lomax, a fan of good cinema.
He knows what he's talking
That's
about.
That's pretty nice. Yeah. So then they're like, oh, the mafia is coming here to kill us. But Bernie specifically said, don't do it until he leaves the island. So all we got to do, Leah, is hang out with the corpse and the mafia is not going to kill us.
What?
Yeah. The mafia is the mafia. They're going to kill you anyway.
The mafia's like, you know, Bernie fucked up. Let's kill him.
Right.
Let's take him out. Why not kill all three?
Yes. Just finish it all.
Why are you leaving loose ends? You're taking Bernie out because he's a loose end.
Yeah.
But you're leaving two others?
No.
Who is the better mafia, actually? The mafia in this movie or Joe Mantegna in Thinner?
I think it's Joe Mantegna and Thinner. Yeah. He gets things done. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's got a machine gun at least.
He successfully killed dogs.
Yeah, he's got acid for people.
And that's what's embarrassing, though, because this is supposed to be the New York Italian mafia.
Yeah.
And here's Joe Mantegna out in bumblefuck Connecticut.
I don't know which of the five families this is, but...
It's the fifth one. It's the one nobody talks about.
The Staten Island crew.
Whoa, no. You guys are doing a bang-up job over there, and we harbor no ill will against
towards the mafia?
This.
No.
No.
We're a pro-mafia program. You can look back at the old episodes if you want.
I think our track record is clear. We are pro-mafia on this show 100%.
Liz, because you know what? Someone's going to do the crime. At least it's controlled. At least there's an understanding.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they decide to parade Bernie around even more. This is when you get your shoelaces together.
Right.
This is when we put Bernie on a fucking boat for no reason. Like, oh, well, Richard, if we just put Bernie on the boat and we drive around, but then we leave the island with Bernie, the mafia can't, like, as if Bernie was bulletproof.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you know what? Fucking sharpshooters, dude. They will pick you off driving Bernie's speedboat. But what's amazing, I love that sequence because these characters are literally trying to speedboat out of this movie.
Yes.
They're like, if we can get through the wall in the Truman Show, we can break out of this fucking movie.
And they're doing it so bad. And one of my favorite characters, one of these side rich guys, is like, that's illegal. What you're doing is illegal.
Oh, I love that line. That was my one legitimate laugh in this whole movie.
And then Andrew McCarthy throws an anchor in that man's boat because he thinks a boat has brakes because I guess he's a city kid. Which is insulting to city kids because, Steve, you know that boats don't have brakes.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that. Well, the funny thing is they don't. They think that they're running away from Anton Sugar. You know what I mean? Like, they're like falling.
This has not been a very good weekend at Bernie's for you, Jonathan Silverman.
It's like the villain from my favorite Cormac McCarthy novels come to life and is trying to kill us. Richard, you don't read.
Call it. Call it, Bernie.
Which, by the way, talking about Anton Sugar, congratulations to everybody taking the BK Challenge.
Yeah, oh yeah.
WHM BK Challenge.
Yeah.
And that, it still stands. We're still daring people and daring your bowels.
But don't do it.
Hashtag WHM BK Challenge. Two meals of Burger King. The first one, right when you get home watching King Ralph. The second has been sitting waiting for you, getting cold. Some cold Burger King.
But I think
for watching No Country for Old Men.
What I like about the challenge is that...
Several things to like about the challenge, by the way.
It ends so grimly. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... It's like the most grim movie you could watch. Like, that's not an afternoon movie. That's not a morning... It's not a fun movie.
No. That's a movie...
Death is coming for us all, and you just ate two Burger King meals and also watched King Ralph, by the way. That's what I like about the challenge.
King Ralph is the poison you ingest at the beginning, and the No Country / second cold fast food meal, that's the fucking bullet through your eyes, just as the poison starts to eat your insides.
That's the reality of it. So they fuck around in this boat, and this is when Bernie's face would be ripped right off.
This is what I'm talking
about. He's hitting all these buoys.
They're dragging him behind the speedboat, and he's hitting buoy after buoy, and they're like, what's that dinging noise?
It's not a boob comedy, it's a buoy comedy.
A lot more buoys and boobs. They're going top speed, like 90 miles an hour.
Yes.
He's face down. Like, his skin would rip right off.
His face is taking the brunt of every hit.
Yeah, yeah.
nothing's wrong.
Like, the head is getting ripped off. Yeah. The face, I'm sure, is gone. Yeah. That head is gone.
Then what happens now? It's basically over, right?
What happens after
the speedboating?
They wind up going back to the house because
they just bring him back for no
fucking
reason.
It's like a Goosebumps. They keep trying to leave the house. They keep trying to leave, and they keep fighting at the same spot. And then Gwen shows up, and she's like, "Oh, I guess Bernie was dead the whole time." The bullshit mafia comes up and gets beaten half to death by Andrew McCarthy, of all people.
Dude, what's
that
awesome,
though?
That
is a Mickey Mouse Mafia organization.
Yeah, where he wraps him up in telephone
He wraps him up in a bunch of telephone wire, and then he starts doing what Groucho Marx would do and like Charlie Chaplin would do, is start kicking him in the ass.
Yeah.
He's kicking this dude in the ass. It's like, this is a mafia assassin. This is some embarrassing shit for the five families.
This would
right
be
now.
A great Marx Brothers movie, now that you mentioned that.
Oh, sure.
Harpo playing Bernie.
Oh, you get some people that are competent at comedy doing it? That'd be fun. That'd be an interesting change.
What a fucking weird thing that would be.
They should try that one day.
So now the cops get called, and yes, it's the end of the movie. And the cops, again, there's... Oh, by the way, the very pointedly, Paulie shoots Bernie in the chest like 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, I guess bullets matter now.
Yeah. He's finally escalating the bullets.
Weird, but the mafia hitman took 48 hours to escalate to bullets.
When we finally see Paulie arrested, he's in a straitjacket like he's going to Arkham. He was alive! He was alive!
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But also, like, it doesn't take... I don't know. You'd have to be a whiz medical examiner to notice that there's no blood coming out because he's been fucking dead for 2 days.
Also, all the blood fell out into the bay during that boat chase. Oh, my God. I mean, what's funny is they're sitting at the end having this, like, patting each other on the back moment about the whole thing. And they're just like, you know, Richard, you did great. No, Lawrence, you did great. Yeah. No, you. And I'm like, who did great at what? You didn't do anything.
You barely even partied, to be quite honest with you. If this whole thing was about partying,
you decided to just play with a dead body instead.
Yeah. Yep, exactly right. Partying grade, F+. Mm-hmm. What wretched partying skills you portrayed in this movie.
It was awful.
There's no partying. Oh, and also, Gwen, totally in love with Jonathan Silverman.
Sure, of course she is.
Jonathan Silverman's going to be hanging out at her parents' beach house for the rest of the week. Oh,
and then Andrew McCarthy is going to hang out at this crime scene, apparently. Like, this place is closed for business.
He's just like, I'll just stay at Bernie's. Oh, yeah? You'll stay in a cell.
Yes.
You friggin' weirdo.
What's amazing, too, is there's one part where, like, this woman, or it's like a couple of beach babes are walking by the fucking corpse on the stretcher. And they're like, what happened? And this ambulance attendant is like, oh, didn't you hear? Bernie Lomax got murdered. And they're like, oh, no. And he's like, yeah, isn't it awful? Bernie was a great guy. I was like, you don't know that, EMT. Or maybe he does know that because...
He probably resuscitated him a few times.
Oh, man, we got to go to Bernie's again. Another chick OD'd in his bathtub.
But he slipped me $20, so he's cool.
Yeah,
he
kept it quiet. We'll leave her on the side of the road. It's all fine.
Sure. So,
much like Stephen King's Weekend at Bernie's, with much less car accidents.
He hates him.
Bernie flies out of the ambulance, falls onto the beach, again, because they can't escape him, and they all kind of like run away. And then we have a reprise of this burying in sand gag by noted comedy director Jason Walliner.
Yes, playing a little shitty, little stinker in this movie. Yeah.
Former next-door neighbor of Steven Sadak.
There you go, dude.
That's it.
Look at that.
Look right at that.
That could be a sitcom.
And then you know what we get, which is great? Back to that Comic Sans. In case you weren't reminded of the fact already that, hey, go fuck yourself. You just watched Weekend at Bernie's, you stupid moron.
Speaking of cartoons, how did this not have a cartoon opening?
We'll get to that next week where part two does open with a cartoon.
Oh, fucking finally.
Now, is that confirmed? I haven't seen it in a while. You've seen it like 78 times.
Dude, I've seen this, I'm telling you, at least 20 times. There's a cartoon opening.
I was turning this on.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen part two?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can I tell you? I know what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
That's why I've never seen it, to be honest.
That corpse is still immaculate.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Oh, it's great. But he's got a sweet, like, windbreaker outfit on in this movie.
One could say it's an exquisite corpse. That doesn't make sense.
Bravo. Would anybody recommend Weekend at Bernie's 1?
No, it didn't work for me.
Had you seen this before?
Yeah, a bunch.
Oh, okay.
It didn't hold up. I think that it takes a long time to get there. I could see where there's a movie here. It's just a D plus all around. You know what I mean?
In the sand.
It's buried in the sand. It didn't work for me.
I would actually kind of recommend it, but I think it's like pure nostalgia, dumb shit. Because I remember 1989, man.
Sure. 1989 was a good year.
Don't tell me it didn't happen. I saw it happen. Yeah, you know, rewatching this, I had a couple of legitimate laughs, and it's dumb. You know, do what you want, you know? Don't listen to me. Yeah.
I will say one thing is when you go to the IMDb app and you type in Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2 are the first two things that come up, which says something about the popularity of this movie series.
Says something about the popularity of the movie Weekend, actually.
Yeah, really? Although that dude's new movie, 45 Years, is fan-fucking-tastic.
Weekend is a great movie, too.
It's all right, but this is better. I thought, anyway. Anyway, so I would recommend Weekend at Bernie's. I kind of agree with Eric. It's dumb nostalgia stuff. It did, for the most part, like work for me still. It is just... It's so stupid, and I agree with you, Steve. It is poorly executed. There is a better movie
of course.
In all of this. It's called The Trouble with Harry, directed by Alfred Hitchcock, first of all.
It wouldn't be a terrible idea to remake this movie. Not like it would be weird. It would be like not very good, but like, you could make a movie. You know, you get Jake Johnson and, you know, Damon Wayans' son again. Maybe they're doing Weekend at Bernie's.
It would have to be better than that Let's Be Cops, because that's the definition of a letdown, is that movie. I'm actually shocked that this hasn't been remade. Mm-hmm. You figure it would be, but it hasn't been. So wake up, Hollywood. Remake happy.
You know, wake up, James Corden. You can actually snatch up the Weekend at Bernie's reunion. Honestly, everyone's sleeping on it. You could be the guy to grab it.
Things to look forward, Steve, for when you screen Weekend at Bernie's 2 for next week's episode. Barry Bostwick.
Oh, all right.
A whole lot of Calypso music.
Oh yeah.
Some wacky hoodoo voodoo going on. New York City 1980s porno theaters.
Oh.
That's happening.
Oh, right. You like that, right?
Yeah, I've been there.
And a staple from television's Law & Order franchise makes a little bit of an appearance.
Wait a second, a stapler?
Yeah. Elliot Stapler in Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Man, that is a Mad Magazine joke.
If you're hiring Mad Magazine, we're all available.
We are, yeah.
We are very available.
That's Weekend at Bernie's from 1989, directed by Ted Kotcheff. If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, and find us over at Sideshow Network. movies.tv right into the mailbag, of course. We all hate movies at gmail.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. By the way, keep posting those pics. Hashtag WHMBK Challenge until someone dies, and then we legally have to stop telling people to do it. But just, you know, making you eat a bunch of Tums for a night doesn't count.
No one's making anyone do anything, by the way.
No. It's all in good fun.
I would actually advise you strongly not to do it.
I just so wish there was a Burger King in my neighborhood because I've been fucking craving it.
I say don't do it.
I'm seeing all these people not taking the challenge, but I appreciate people posting pictures of how they were motivated to eat some Burger King. So you know what? Hey, Burger King.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Send a little of that scratch our way.
And of course, there is no clue for next week's episode because it is Weekend at Bernie's 2. So until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Bernie Lomax.
Take it
easy.
You
are not Bernie Lomax.